This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The Cubby House is a show about two cub-identifying guys exploring the big and hairy issues in and around the bear community.
This program is designed for a mature audience. It may contain adult themes, sex and drug references, and of course, coarse language. Listener discretion is advised.
And welcome to the 23rd of April 2012. I'm Cookie.
And I'm Kevin.
And this is the Cubby House. Thank you very much to Kiss My Arts for another wonderful week. I'd be interested to see what wonderful music they play next week.
Wonderful music as usual.
Yes, 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 indeed. Now, tonight we have a wonderful couple of guests in, including our own very Vic present. Very Vic president. Because he's from Victoria. Vic Bears president, Rob Cam, who'll be coming in for his monthly catch up.
We do. You'll be taking us through the regular kink corner with something new in store.
The color burgundy. You're going to have to find out what it is.
I'm already terrified.
So you should be. In GeekOn, we'll be talking with our guest host tonight, Aaron, about what's the differences between solo and mass multiplayer games and the pros and cons?
Excellent. We'll then have an interview with Dr. George, who comes on and has a chat with us about an ex-gay researcher who's retracted his study on being able to convert gay people and, you know, how they survive afterwards.
How interesting. And we've also got a discussion, particularly because Aaron, who's from originally Washington, D.C., through his years has travelled around and has actually made a point of learning the local customs, and particularly our accents and pronunciations.
So we'll have a discussion about whether that's, you know, required or anything.
Yes, yeah, so all that and much, much more here in the Cubby House tonight. But as usual, we do have a discussion topic.
We do, and it's a rather interesting one, actually.
Yes.
Bisexuals, do you limit sex with them to the occasional fling, or would you date one long term? Want to have your say on the Cubby House project? Contact us through Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. The Cubby House Project on Joy 94.9.
We haven't introduced you to our guest host of tonight, so I'd better introduce him all the way from Washington, D.C. via Istanbul and currently living in Istanbul.
Which I only visited for a short time, but yes. Still.
Now, what is it not?
It's not Constantinople.
Thank you very much. That is the voice of Aaron
Kluka.
Kluka. I had it written down and all. There you go. I almost
internationally mispronounced. It's okay.
Wonderful.
Well, very few people can say that.
Yes. Yes. Now, you are down from Sydney, thankfully, tonight?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Wonderful. I take it your job gets you around a little bit?
Yes, yes. I'm a software trainer, so I get to travel all over Australia and tell everyone how to use software. So it's a lot of fun.
Excellent. So we've got a series of rapid fire questions that we like to ask you so that our audience can get to know you and love you just like we do.
Oh, excellent.
Shall we start with, gentlemen?
We'll be gentle.
Yes, yes. Your age.
Well, I am 31 years old.
Name one thing you miss most about being a kid.
I miss summer vacation. So in the U.S., we'd get 3 months off between school years, and I miss that the most because I wish I had 3 months off every year.
Now, usually what dates are they, just so that we're
Well, it would be summer for the U.S., so end of May to about late August.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice time to head off.
Very nice. You forget everything you learned the year before.
Excellent. Now, do you have any hidden talents?
Well, not that I can maybe say on the air, but I tend to be rather witty and I can come back with retorts quite easily.
Oh, we'll put that to the test.
I'll try. Yes.
What body part do you get caught staring at?
I like mouths a lot.
Any particular reason?
Well, lips in particular. I really like good lips.
I'm sure we'll find out more about that. what is the last thing that you purchased?
Well, it was a video game, which is Heroes of Might and Magic 6.
Ooh, geek.
Good game.
So, ooh, geek.
I haven't played it yet because I just I bought it right before I came down here. So.
Okay. So apart from that, what's your current obsession?
Right now, it's pretty much two things. RuPaul's Drag Race, which is absolutely phenomenal, and the season finale is tomorrow. And the Mistborn series, which is a fantasy book series that I absolutely love.
Have you read Alloy of Law?
Yes, of course I have. Oh.
Absolutely brilliant. And he's actually said that he's going to continue that.
I know.
He's actually going to write the next series of books in that era. Sorry.
I'm really
is this the series that spanned five games?
No. It's a series of books that he wants to actually write, one from a medieval point of view, one from a steampunk point of view, and the last series he wants to write is one from a futuristic point of view. So he actually wants to take the same world across several decades. Which amazing.
Mist is in the
Mistborn.
Game.
Mistborn.
Mistborn. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Okay, I'll stop geeking out. It's all about you.
It's all right.
Next, do you have any phobias?
Very large Australian spiders. They creep me out like no other.
Funny, because I took a photograph of one not far from your house.
They're creepy, 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 creepy.
We're going to move on now. Yes. Sexually, what melts your butter?
Rangas, or redheads.
Really?
Oh, I love them. They're so awesome.
Get out.
No,
get out.
Come on.
No, we've had enough of you. Get out.
Oh.
So you wake up in a prison cell. What's most likely the crime you've committed?
Oh, it'd probably be some sex crime. Horrible sex crime that gone terribly wrong.
We'll definitely find out more information about that. Yes. You're about to be sent to a desert island and can only carry three possessions.
Three.
Non-electrical possessions.
Non-electrical. Okay, well, first would be my glasses. So I definitely want to see the world. Number two,
well, yes.
I would Fair say point. Telescope, because I love seeing stars. And if I'm on Desert Island, the stars will be immaculate. And I would actually do the Mistborn series as a book. And I'd just read it over and over and over again. So I think that those were... I said I was obsessed, so there you go.
And your secret question for tonight, sir. How quickly could you name 190 of the 197 countries that you were on when you were last on air?
I was trying to do this a while back. It would take me a lot longer than the first time I did it, and I probably wouldn't get them all. Well, actually, if I sat down, there's over 200 of them now, by the way, but it would take me about maybe 20 minutes.
As opposed to the 3 minutes you did it.
Oh, no, it was about five, 7 minutes. I flew through them when I was younger.
All right. Okay. So how did you get involved in the bear community?
Well, after I graduated college in 2003, wow, that was so long ago, I actually moved to Washington, D.C., and I fell in with a couple of Barents and the D.C. bear community from there.
Barents?
My Barents. Okay. To,
As opposed to parents?
Yes, instead of parents, they're Barents.
Okay.
And through the D.C. bear community, through an online group and through them, I got introduced to the bear community.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Do you think it's changed since you've joined?
Yes. Yes, I have. In a lot of ways, it's matured. Maybe because I've matured, hopefully, I think. But it seems that before it was much more event-based, and now it's much more lifestyle choice in terms of what you do and what you associate with. I find myself kind of in and out of the bear community depending on my mood and how I want to interact with folks.
Awesome. And just very quickly, describe the first time you went to a gay bar.
It was called Club Liquid, and it was in the middle of Illinois in Iowa. And it was a hot mess.
Sorry, just to clarify, that was a hot mess?
Hot mess. Basically, a group of us from college or uni got into a big car and drove an hour to this bar. And there's a really bad strip show and a really bad drag queen, too. And it was about 60% gay. And it was really the first time I was exposed to more than five gay people in a room. So it was... kid in a candy store / terrified of what to do next. So it was a good time. Club Liquid.
Well, thank you very much. See, you survived. It wasn't that bad.
No, and now they fear me.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much, and you'll be joining us a bit further on, particularly talking a bit more about that hot mess in one of our topics. You're on the Cubby House on Joy 94.9. On the line, we have a man who we often have this time of the month. And no, his name's not period. It's Rob Cam. Hello, sir.
Hello. How are you, Cookie? Good evening, Kev. Hello, Aaron.
Hello.
Hello, Rob. I apologize for him in advance.
This time of the month.
No, it's someone's time of the month, I'll tell you what. Well, hello, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing exceptionally well on yourself, Kev.
Very, very good. Now, you guys had Den Night last month, and it was leather-themed, wasn't it?
It was. It was our Leather Bears Den Night. We've done that a couple of times throughout the year. It was so popular and big back in October. We thought, why not run it again? And it was great. It was fantastic to see so many guys out. It was a nice, warm, balmy night, too. So
always advantageous.
Yeah, brought everyone out, so there was a lot of black. A lot of shiny, a lot of leather, a lot of cowhide out that night, let me tell you. So it was a great night.
Sounds yummy.
Sounds very sexy. So what have you guys all got on this month?
Well, this month, around as it always happens around Anzac Day, we team up with the guys at the Laird for Combat, which is our military gear party. So it's sort of in honour of the returned servicemen and the whole sort of military theme there. So that's our focus for this coming Saturday night. The canteen will be open. We don't run the barbecue when it gets a bit nippy. So the canteen with some nice hot food will be up and running, and the usual good old Manhouse members draw and raffles and giveaways and great stuff will be happening this Saturday night at the Laird.
Awesome. And you guys have got something really special happening next month. I think it's the first time we've ever run this event. What is it?
It is. Well, next month in May coincides with, wait for it, Eurovision.
Bum, bum, bum.
A lot of people get excited out there about Eurovision. So our Den Night coincides not with the final, which is on Sunday the 27th, if my memory serves me right. So in May, our Den Night is actually on the semi-final night on the Saturday. So we'll have the semi-finals blaring, I think, through the TVs in Nuggets Bar and the good old sort of Den Night happening throughout the rest of the pub. So that's next month in May. So lots coming up for the Vic Bears.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
But you guys are also ramping up for your big event in June.
Yes, our annual big get-together, which is our big week of Pride. It's our 17th year. We're pretty damn excited about that, as we always are. It's our biggest fundraising event on our calendar is Southern Hibernation. 7 weeks to go, not like I'm counting the days. But,
hold on, I can tell you the exact number of days somewhere.
And hours and minutes until we kick off on the 10th of June. So it all happens on Queen's birthday weekend. Eight days, 13 events. It's just, I can't believe it. You know, back in 97, it was one night. You know, now it's this whole sort of plethora of film afternoons and zoo tours and winery tours and under bear dances and berry-oaky and, of course, the big Miss Australasia Bear Contest. So much going on. Lots of things still coming together. It's going to be a lot of fun and, of course, a huge event for us at the club. So,
now, Rob, I've got to break you there because Kevin's just pulled out his phone. Now, for anybody who's seen Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, you'll know that there's a big clock after every show, a timer that resets every day, or on the day, every time of the week. Kevin's got one for hibernation. What is it?
We have 47 days, 20 hours, 59 minutes, and 50 seconds.
See, it wasn't far off, 47 days, like 7 weeks.
It's the answer to everything.
Damn close, yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. That's planning's going really well. Got a great team, obviously, with the committee and a bunch of volunteers working tirelessly.
Have we had many Sorry to interrupt you there. Have we had any many contestants, or are we still looking for some?
We have. Look, we're always interested in people that want to put themselves out there and jump up on stage and really see Hibernation from a different perspective.
And
but,
it
of course, we have the winners coming from the other bear clubs. So we've already got Bear New Zealand Week, the guy coming over from there. Bris Bears are sending theirs down. Adelaide winners. Sydney's having theirs next month. I know two guys have already signed up here in Melbourne. So we're going to have a great field, I think, of guys who are really going to put on a great night for us and really drive the fundraising activity, which is really what Hibernation's all about.
So, very, very true.
And the competition's open to anybody who participates, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to be a member of the club. You don't have to, you know, be a particular size, shape, age, whatever. Just, it's really about coming along, having a bit of fun, and, you know, being an active part, I suppose, of the whole fundraising activity. And, you know, putting on a bit of a show of us. It's the biggest event for the whole week. So, yeah, you'll certainly come out of your shell, put it that way.
So it's, Rob, a lot of fun. Where can they find more information about Southern Hibernation and VicBears?
And VicBears, jump to vicbears.org.au. You can click on the What's On page for all the regular events coming up, or click on the Hibernation link and jet off to the Hibernation website. Grab your passes, grab your tickets, all the great stuff is all detailed there. So all the information that you need and more. And of course, we're on Facebook and good old Twitter as well.
Now, speaking of Facebook, Rob, have you answered our question for tonight?
I haven't. I thought then, I pondered and I thought, oh, I don't know. I don't think I've ever thought of that way before.
Well, I tell you what, you've got another half an hour to answer the question on our Facebook page.
Challenge extended.
Put me on the spot. All right, I'll make sure I go in there. I'll go and ask my housemates and Jimmy and see what the consensus is here on that one.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Rob.
No,
wonderful to have you.
Guys, have a great night.
No worries. We'll see you on Saturday.
We will indeed. Take care. Thanks, guys.
Now, if you haven't answered our question, you can do it via SMS and Facebook. And the question tonight is, bisexuals, do you limit sex with them to the occasional fling, or would you date one long term?
Want to have your say on the Cubby House project? Contact us through Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. The Cubby House Project on Joy 94.9.
And this week on the Kink Corner, we're going to look at the colour of the hanky code, burgundy, or if you want, wine. It's representing of mud play. Now, mud play, I've tried to look for the definitive definition, but it comes under about three or four of them. So bear with me. First one is mysophilia, which is the fetishism of dirt or germs, such as, you know, mud, dirty jocks, those sorts of things. The other terminology could be salariophilia, which is soiling someone, something, or yourself.
Do you want to pronounce that again? Salariophilia?
Thank you. There you go. Or it could come under the term wet and messy, which is also known as sploshing, and that is wet substances are applied to the body, so sloppy foods like sauce, whipped cream, anything to paint, a gunge, oil, slime, and that includes liquids, so beer and the like as well. Now, according to UrbanDictionary.com...
Which is such a good place to quote. Well done. You've done your research, Cookie.
Well, it is,
is the definitive.
Well, I'm only saying because there's nothing definitive about it. So, it's described exactly this. It's what the name implies, to be turned on by mud. Those with a mud fetish would enjoy being totally nude in mud, jacking off with mud covering every inch of their bodies. And it's often described as one of the greatest feelings ever, as though 1,000 tongues are licking your body.
So, like, pigs wallowing?
Possibly.
Or are we talking, you know, watching people wrestling in mud?
Well, either watching or being a participant of, yes.
See, I can see that, especially with, like, Turkish wrestling.
Yeah.
Because that can be really hot.
Well, that's the voyeurism of this particular fetish, yes. Now, mud fetishists can enjoy different kinds of mud. Some prefer thick, black, gooey swamp mud, while others prefer soft and silky clay mud. Men, apparently, can appreciate the pleasure, particularly by sliding their cock in and out of the mud as it forms a natural suction. Now, as a final word from the writer of this entry mentions, playing naked in the mud is great fun. People ought to try it before saying how weird it is. And that, gentleman, is the Kink Corner for this week.
You always manage to completely disturb me with the mental images that you conjure with your Kink Corner. I hope I'm not the only one. But
well,
thank you very much for extending my imagination week after week.
Thank you. I do this so you can openly talk about these things, whether it's your thing or not. You're on the Cubby House on Joy 94.9.
Exploring the world, keeping you jacked in and turned on. That's right. Get your geek on.
And if that wasn't enough, let's go for another round. We're talking this section on Solo playing versus mass multiplayer online.
Well, it's always more fun with another player.
Well, some would argue. Depends on who the player is. Now, we've all played different versions of games. I know we've all played World of Warcraft as an example of a mass multiplayer online. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's that. There's solo playing, and then there's the general multiplayer, which is like a smaller group of people, generally friends or people you know. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I'd like to discuss here tonight is in terms of a few things. Things like communication, our social connection through the games, tactics, and so forth. So I'm going to start with you, Aaron. In terms of communication, which out of the three would you prefer to play most?
Well, for me, it's mostly single-player games. So things like Skyrim or Diablo 2, where I can, at least the single-player mode of Diablo 2, where I can just sit down and enjoy the storyline and go through the game myself at my own pace, at my own experience level. And I don't have to try to compare myself to someone else who I'm playing with, who I may not know, who may be better at playing the game at a technical level than I can, and I get much a better experience out of it playing on my own than playing with strangers.
Okay, Kevin.
I guess it depends on the kind of game you play, and I tend to play more puzzle games. Mm-hmm. Portal and Portal 2 are one of my favorite games ever. And I mean, they can be played both single player or, you know, with another player. I've only ever played it single player. I looked at my multiplayer and went, that looks awesome! But I'd never find anyone that I communicate with well enough to be able to do that. So I suppose just because I'm a puzzle game, I'm more of a single player. Play alone, go through storyline, figure things out myself.
Okay. I too prefer, as you, Kevin, puzzle games, but I prefer the role-playing puzzle, where it actually is a story and you have to complete certain challenges to actually unlock the next part of the story and continue on and feel good that you're contributing to a preset storyline.
Such as every single Monkey Island in creation?
There's Monkey Island.
You don't need to go through them. Just you've played them all, correct?
Yes, and there's Discworld. Discworld's another one, which I've actually found it's a really old one. I'm trying to make it work. But what about things like the social connection through these games? How do you find your style of play, because obviously we're all preferable, in particular, to single player, how do you prefer to make connections through games?
Well, I've tried games like World of Warcraft or like Old Republic, and I just find that I can't really connect with people who are so far away, and there's people who are younger than me, much younger than me, and the type of level and discourse is just pretty much nil to me. So if I know the people and I know them well, then I think I can get an enjoyable experience out of it and I can communicate better. But going in cold with a group of strangers is just, it ends my experience right there.
So you almost need like a helping hand into the game, like you would like a training buddy or something when you go, yes, I do the gym or something, just to make you feel good about participating with someone who you knowledgeable of.
Somewhat. I mean, I've done the kind of buddy system. My partner Sebastian and I played WoW together, and I just found that when I wasn't playing in a group with him, I didn't get it, or they would just kind of blow me by or not take the time to explain things to me, and I would just get frustrated and turn off.
Okay.
I probably limit my social interaction out of game. I understand how it can. I understand how it can actually be very beneficial. But just for me, I don't. Do you interact socially on games?
Yes and no. I keep social interaction minimal with people who I don't know, and I use it as a tool for continuing communication through friends. So something I'd like to kind of leave you with a thought of, does things like MMOs challenge us in new and ways that are probably beneficial or more of a distraction? There's a thought to leave you with for the Geek Out section this week. You're on the Cubby House on Joy 94.9. Thank you very much, Kevin, for that wonderful song we're all rocking here in the studio.
That's brilliant.
Was our guest on the line rocking in his seat, Mr. George Forgan-Smith?
Hello.
Hello. Who are you rocking out to that song, sir?
Well, I'm rocking something, but it's more of a backward and forwards motion in it, you know, in like a Stop the devil.
Just wait. Remember, if there's no photos, it didn't happen. Hello, Dr. George. Now, we got you on to talk about some research that was recently retracted about a study that was put into ex-gays.
Oh, yes. Well, it's great. I'm really, really pleased that Dr. Spitzer, he's quite an interesting chap because he was the person responsible for the removal of homosexuality as being a mental illness.
Correct.
And then he goes on and creates this belief that it's possible for people to change their sexuality.
Well, it was a controversial 2001 study which suggested that gay people could change their sexual orientation under rare circumstances. Now, there was a magazine which was the American Prospect, which he's actually published in a retraction saying that, you know, a lot of the criticisms that were levelled at his research are valid.
Well, look, I think... Absolutely. A lot of the criticism. But the thing is that I think that the study was used in such a bad, bad way. Now, what he was basically talking about is people who felt that their homosexuality was ego dystonic. So what that actually means is that you acknowledge that you're homosexual, but it doesn't feel right to you. Now, the question is, why doesn't it feel right? Is the reason that a lot of people feel bad about being homosexual because of all of the homophobia stuff that's going around. And basically, his study was very, very flawed, mainly because he cherry-picked the very people who just happened to be running ex-gay groups to be used for his study.
How convenient. And he had a limited of 200 sample, didn't he?
Oh, it was dreadful. And, like, let's have a look at two of the biggest ex-gay organisations. Both of those have had leaders who were busted having sex with other people of the same gender. So it's quite disturbing that even the so-called leaders of these groups can't even keep their hands in their own pockets.
What are some of the negative effects of someone going through these ex-gay therapies?
Well, look, it's beyond a belief. I would believe that probably there's been suicides, that we've lost gay and lesbian people because they were either forced into it or, you know, that they felt that they needed to do it because they couldn't deal with the stress and worry of their current gender and sexual orientation. And look, I just think it causes nothing but harm. Apart from the fact that there are certain religious organisations, Baptist organisations, that use physical torture is bad enough, but psychological torture is even worse. And I think that the prayer sessions and the constant counselling and all that sort of stuff is just detrimental to the soul. You cannot live a life where you're not able to accept yourself wholly and fully. Until you can do that, I think it's going to be very, very difficult to be happy with anything.
Do you think that Dr. Spitzer, you know, retracting his study is actually going to have an effect on these ex-gay therapies? Or
look, I think that they're going to lose a lot of street cred. I hope that they're going to lose a lot of street cred because, you know, that's pretty much the only data that they were using to back up their study. So what I'm hoping is that this will be able to force people away from these particular organisations. But I think that the big issue is going to be is when there's large religious groups running them, or, you know, pseudo-religious groups running them, it's going to be difficult to disconnect those two. But I'm hoping that bit by bit we can chip away and get rid of all of this bullshit.
Excellent. Well, we will definitely get you back online to touch base with us in a couple of months to see if there was any impact and maybe some new studies that maybe be done.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah, fantastic.
Thank you very much for coming on, George.
My absolute pleasure. You guys have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. You too.
Have a great night.
Thank you. On the Cubby House, we have been asking the question about bisexuality. Now, if Kevin can quickly bring up the... Oh, we've lost the page. Hang on a sec. Bisexual. Do you limit sex with them to the occasional fling, or would you date one long term?
Want to have your say on the Cubby House project? Contact us through Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. The Cubby House Project on Joy 94.9. And just before we forget, if you would like to find any more information on The Healthy Bear, you can find his blog on thehealthybear.com.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And thank you to all the people who have SMS'd in or Facebooked in. Thank you very much, Sam. Apparently, there's something to do with spud wrestling, about something we talked about in Kink Corner. Thank you very much for your message.
The mud wrestling?
Yes, yes. Now, the question for tonight's show has been bisexuals. Do you limit sex with them to the occasional fling, or would you date one long term? And we've had a plethora of responses, so I think we'll pick the best ones here.
I think we've just, they've gone crazy, crazy.
Yes.
Kendall says, interesting.
There's a reason behind that. We won't go into it. I love Karen's. She apparently married one.
Well done. That's one way to solve the situation.
Thank you very much, Karen. Drew says, no way, nor would I share.
Interesting. Matt says, anything she can do, I can do better.
I will meet him at the baby shower.
Uh-huh. They'll come to our side of the fence one way or another.
Charming. Thank you
very much. And Rob Cam wrote in.
Yes, what did he say?
He said, I don't think it matters whether you're gay, bi, tri, or oh my. If it feels right and the sex is great, then I wouldn't make a decision before it even started.
Wonderful. Sparky wrote in, how are they different to any other gay guy? So keen. Keep their options open, exactly.
Peter from up in Queensland says, I will admit it's an interesting premise, but I think if they were faithful and committed, then there's no issue. Just no threesomes. Well, not ones where women are added into the mix anyway.
Interesting. Now, your partner, Aaron.
Sebastian
yes. has messaged in. He said, it's an interesting thought. The only problem I could have with dating a bisexual is if we are open and they are having sex with women too. It's something I would have to get used to, but I can't justify discriminating against it. I've had enough of discrimination based on sexual preference in my life. Aww.
I would have to agree with him. So for me, I guess it's a lot of the idea of that I can't fulfill someone completely if they're bisexual.
I'm going to argue that point because there are people that are in polyamorous relationships and there are people that are in kink relationships and you might not necessarily satisfy your partner's need to be dominated or to be mud wrestled or to be whatever kink comes to mind. I'm going blank because I'm staring at a cookie and anyone popping into my head is fisting.
Thanks.
But you don't necessarily satisfy. You don't necessarily satisfy them that way. What's the difference?
Well, for me, I guess personally, I would like to be involved with my partner in whatever regard. So when it comes to bisexual relationships, I would be a little bit more hesitant.
I would like to ask you one quick question before you leave for tonight. Mm-hmm. So what is your most important piece of sex advice you'd give your virgin self?
What I would tell my virgin self is, these are not the droids you are looking for.
Oh, you got it in!
I got it. I told you.
Congratulations, you're our first guest to get our trick question phrase in.
Every week we give our guests a phrase that they need to work in, and that was not subtle at all.
Hey, but it worked. It worked.
And you got away with actually not answering the question.
Yes.
What I would say is just don't say no all the time.
That's not a bad one.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
All right, fair enough.
Is there a way if I give a shout out?
Quickly.
All right. An international shout out to Mr. Eric in Washington, D.C. He's been texting me all night begging for me to do it. So here it is.
Well, Eric, make sure that you tell all your friends to like us.
Yes. And you can do that by going to facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. We have, how many likes left before?
385. We have 15 to go till we hit 400. Come on, people.
We now have 14 as of now.
Yay! 14 to go, people.
Keep them coming in. Thank you very much. You can also check us out at thecubbyhouse.net.au, or if you'd like to email us throughout the week, you can by emailing contact@thecubbyhouse.net.au. For tonight, I'm Cookie.
And I'm Kevin.
And I'm Aaron.
Thank you very much, and we'll catch you next week here on The Cubby House.
Thanks, Melbourne.
Ooh, Melbourne. Amazing. Awesome added accent. You can come back again.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.